I want you to take a special look at that picture up there, because ever since this has been the graphic for our sermon series, this is what I wanted to do, right here. Put on the gloves, all right? Now, I put on the gloves today because it's in alignment with what we're talking about, but also I put on the gloves because this idea of the fight for life. How many of you, I see you, Katie, how are you doing in the circle nine? Okay, good. How many of you, when Mrs. Brown asked the question, said, how many of you have ever had a temper tantrum? Did you almost find your hand going up? Yeah, okay. Yeah, been there, done that, right? The fight for life. In this text that is before us this morning, that's what Paul is presenting. And there's nothing really very easy about what it is that you and I are being invited to in this text. So let's pray and ask God's blessing upon our time together in that word, and then we'll launch into this Colossians letter. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, as you reveal to us how it is that we can live in this identity that you have given to us, we pray that you bless us with that knowledge that we're not alone. We have a champion in our corner, namely Jesus, who has already won the fight for us, even as we have to engage in that fight for life until such time as we behold you face to face. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The boxing gloves came as a result, I think, of a dinner auction. I bid for a basket. I've got a free membership for 1 month to a boxing club. And the 24th is the most depressing day of the year, because also this is the time of year when, how many of you have failed in all your New Year's resolutions by now? Pretty much that time. That was a resolution of mine 3 years ago, and I'm still trying to make headway on that one, okay? But this is just a wonderful letter through which Paul is going to help you see in a way that maybe you've never ever seen anything before. In this letter that Paul writes to the Corinthian church, he is helping them to see in a way that they haven't seen before. And I hope that that's our intent for you this morning, to help you see in a way that you haven't seen before. I'm kind of a people watcher kind of a person. Back in the day when our kids were younger, you know, the tweeners and that sort of thing, there's a mall in Rockford called Cherryvale Mall, and I didn't have an assistant, I didn't have vicars, I was preaching pretty much every Sunday and Saturday night as well, so I was not the most fun guy to be around on a Saturday, but I wanted to spend time with my family, and oftentimes, semi-often, the mall was kind of the place to go. Still, it was the early 90s, you know, the mall was kind of the place to go. And the kids enjoyed that, and I'm a typical male shopper, all right? At least that's what they tell us, I'm a typical male shopper. I sight it, I bag it, and I take it home. And I love Amazon Prime because I sight it, I click it, and they bring it to my home. It's even better as far as a guy is concerned. But I understand that some of you, women particularly, like to shop, and you go shopping, okay? It goes on a little bit. And the guys are laughing, the ladies are like, boy, I hope he takes this somewhere safe, right? It's not your fault. If I want to buy a white long sleeve dress shirt, I've got very little choice. There's one, and give me two. While we're at it, just give me two right now. If you want to buy a white long sleeve dress blouse, how many different collar sizes are there? Or styles, and how many different button styles, and sleeve lengths. I mean, what is long in terms of sleeve? I can't believe the choices that you've got to make, so it's no wonder you're going from store to store to store and having coffee in between, and it becomes this whole kind of an event. So what I would do is I would watch people. I'd take my sermon material, work on the sermon a little bit, learn from people around me. People come in fascinating sizes, and they wear fascinating styles. They got fascinating conversations. It's just fascinating to sit there and watch them. But here's the danger side. And this is where we start to intersect with the text this morning. The danger side is that as you do this people-watching thing, you can fall into what Paul says there is not, especially in Christ, that there's no difference between Jew and Gentile, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, one translation says Scythian, this translation just refers to sort of like barbarians of barbarians, uncivilized kinds of people. There's no difference between free and slave. But as you are watching these people, the Pharisee temptation is to say, sort of like the Pharisee and the publican, I thank you, Lord, that I am not like that family. I thank you, Lord, that I am not like that guy. I thank you, Lord, that I have more sense of style than he does. Whatever it is, so that you end up sort of looking down on people. The call in this text this morning is that we would not look through our own eyes, but that God gives us a special set of lenses through which to look. And he does that through Paul. Paul writes these letters by the Holy Spirit. If Paul is writing by the Holy Spirit, then what he's really writing and giving to us is how it is that Jesus looks at us. And the refreshing good news is that when Paul opens up this letter in chapter 1 already, he refers to the people to whom he is writing as saints and brothers. Saints and brothers. That means you have a very special identity. You are people who have been set apart, and not set apart because there was anything special about you, dear Colossians, not because there's anything special about you, dear Concordians, dear Christians, but because there was something special about Christ, that when he looks at us, he sees that we have a need. And he knows something about you and me in terms of that there is no difference, that we all bleed the same. Couldn't get Mandisa, couldn't get Toby Mac here this morning, but I love that song. We all bleed the same. And to extend that, to press that, we all need the same. We all need what it is that Jesus has to give us. So, what does Jesus see when he looks at the Colossian Christians? He starts off chapter 3, and he addresses the Colossian Christians. Let me grab the text here for just a second. And what he does is he nails their identity. And he nails your identity with these words as well. As he says to them, sorry, I think I gave Ken my sheet here, but I've got another one. This is what he says to them. I'm good. But thank you, faithful servant. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, if someone were to ask you today, who are you? You could just very easily to say to them, I am one who has been raised to new life in Christ. That is my identity. What does that mean about how Jesus saw you? What does that mean about how Jesus saw the Colossian Christians? He saw them as worth the fight. He saw them, now he didn't put on the gloves, but he put on flesh and blood. He saw them as people, well, let's take a look at the way he saw them. What is the vantage point of the view of Jesus of his people? I want to take you to the vantage point of the cross. Can you see from whatever height it is that Jesus is nailed to the cross? Can you see people in the way that Jesus sees people? And if you can't, that's part of the reason Colossians is here, so that you can begin to see people in the way that Jesus sees people. How does Jesus see people? From the point of the cross. What does he see from the point of the cross? He sees all kinds of people. And we know that according to Paul, he sees them as having no difference. They all bleed the same. They all need the same. There are people out there that have put him on the cross, that brought him falsely to trial, that trumped up charges so that he is now nailed to that cross and he is dying. But there are people out there. There are people here. All of us. There are people in Colossae, all of them. Doesn't matter. Jew, Gentile, barbarian, Scythian, circumcised, uncircumcised, slave or free. Doesn't matter. What Jesus sees as the blood flows from wounds, what Jesus sees through eyes that have to be obscured by blood that is flowing from that thorny mockery of a crown and the sweat that is pouring from him in the agony that he is suffering. What Jesus sees is the need of everyone, and that his blood is going to satisfy that same need, and his blood is what is going to be shed for each one of us so that Paul can address the Colossians as those who have been raised up to Christ already. Even though they don't behold him face to face, Paul could address you as those who have been raised up to Christ already, even though you don't yet behold him face to face. How is that the same way in which baptism is going to occur in just a few moments in this house as a little one is going to be connected to the life and death and resurrection of Jesus, and we will be able to identify him as one who has been raised to life in Christ, just as you've been raised to life in Christ, connected to God by your baptism, and if you haven't been, then you can be. Connected to that life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, not because you're better than someone else, but because God saw the need. You needed the same thing as everyone else did. You all bleed the same, we all bleed the same, and that same blood of Jesus covers all of our sins. Now, also in this text, it's not just about identification, not just about who you are, but I would encourage you to cling to that in the midst of everything that the world has going on and everything that the world has against us, because honestly, the world does not look at things through the eyes of Jesus, and that's where we are called to see. We're called to look through the eyes of Jesus, see the world as Jesus would see, and this is where the fight comes in. Because Jesus calls us to put off some things, and he calls us to put on something. And what he calls us to put off is not easy to do. The temper tantrum, it's much easier to have a temper tantrum, right, than it is to take that next breath, breathe, calm down. It's much easier to see the guy that just cut you off on the on-ramp as a jerk than through the eyes of Jesus as someone for whom he also bled and suffered and died. It's a real fight. It's an internal fight. In fact, when Paul talks about this, he talks about putting these things off not because this is going to earn you a better place with God or even, you know, earn some portion of your salvation. The reason that we are called to put that off is because these kinds of actions, the thing that Paul calls us to put off, the lust and the greed and these kinds of things, these detract from who Jesus is. They demean what Jesus has done for us. And they, quite frankly, anger God, according to Paul, who's writing by the Holy Spirit, giving us the eyes of Jesus. These things anger God. That's not our purpose as children of God, as people have been raised up to life with Christ. Our purpose is to put on the new nature. To put on the new nature, and in so doing, get to know our God better, but also to glorify our God. I want to take you back about a month. I already touched on, you know, failed resolutions and those kinds of things. But a month ago, on the last Sunday of 2017, on New Year's Eve Day Sunday, we had a guest pastor, Chris Pavola, from All Nations Church in University City. And if you remembered, and if you weren't here, what Chris shared with us was the struggles of starting a new church, was the struggle of getting an ear for Jesus, having a conversation with people about salvation and so forth. And what they finally found out was that the best way that they could get an ear for Jesus was in how they served their community. And he left us with this great little phrase that has been so highly motivating to me personally. I hope it has been to you as well, as we seek to put off the old stuff, the stuff that demeans and detracts from God, and put on what God would have us put on so that we can show forth Jesus. He said, do you remember what he said? Jesus is seen through service. Jesus is seen through service, and through the service of their church in that community, through your service, through it could be Christian Friends of New Americans. It could be Feed My People. It could be kids ministry. It could be our older adult kinds of ministries. It could be in your family. That when you put on this nature of Christ and you are serving one another and you are serving others, in you, people are seeing Jesus. You are glorifying God. And what that church has found out is that you gain a hearing for Christ. So here's my how you doing question. How are you doing? When you come to a text like Colossians chapter 3, one of my sinful temptations is to get to that grocery list of things I'm supposed to put off and just kind of go over it really fast. Let me get to the end. Let me get to the good stuff. Let me get to the Jesus stuff. Let me not have to contemplate these kinds of things that God is calling me to put off and to put on, because that's work. And that's a fight. But here's the thing to remember, if you're like me in any way like that, you and I are not alone in the fight. We have a champion in our corner. We have one who has given us in this text his own eyes as how he sees us, and he has identified as each and every one of us as those for whom it was worth the fight, as those who for whom it was worth to suffer and die and rise from the dead so that you and I could be called people who are raised to new life in Christ. And not just us, and not based upon how we live or how we were born or how much we have or how much we don't have, because we all bleed the same. And God knows that we all need the same. And he has given us that blood of Jesus, that same blood that saves, in the precious, the mighty name that is above all names, the matchless name of Jesus. In that, may you be blessed in the fight for life. May the peace of God that surpasses all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.